I hope you picked up one of the bulletins on your way in, and maybe you've had a chance to look at it. If not, take it home with you and look at that. There's some really interesting and exciting events coming up and activities coming up that our church will be involved in. We're going full bore. Everything's happening. And so it's exciting to see that. We see the Vacation Bible School coming up this summer, all kinds of things going on. On the back sheet, there wasn't enough room on the inside. On the back, it talks a little bit about the prayer event that's coming up this coming weekend. That'll be Friday and Saturday, Sunday next weekend. Doug will give you more details about that, but be sure to think about that and maybe look at your calendar and see if there's an hour that you can come up here and spend some time in special prayer starting next Friday. And like I say, he'll talk more about it in a minute. Our text for our lesson this morning is in Matthew 25, and Danny referred to it, verses 31 through 36. Jesus says, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. And then the King will say to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.'" Jesus is saying this is the criteria by which we'll be judged, by which we'll be separated sheep from goats, right and left, by which we'll be separated those who enter the kingdom prepared from the creation of the world, and those who don't have a place in that kingdom. The criteria will be hospitality. And here Jesus gives a new definition of hospitality. He says hospitality is serving others, caring for others, serving Him. He said, when you care for someone else, when you were sick, when you care for someone who was sick, you were caring for me. When you were caring for someone who needed clothing and you clothed them, you were clothing me. When you were caring for someone who was a stranger and you invited them in and fed them dinner and gave them a place to stay, you did that for me. When you cared for someone who was in the worst spot of their life, they're in prison and they need everything, and you went and visited them, you were visiting me when you visited that prison. Jesus says that's what hospitality is. And when you were serving others and caring for others and serving and feeding them and carrying them and clothing for them, you were doing that for me. So this is the second week in a row we're exploring this topic of hospitality, because it's so fundamental to the Christian life. It's what we're about. We're friends to strangers. And the Bible has a lot to say about that. Romans 15, verse 7, Paul says, "Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." Jesus has opened His front door and invited you in and welcomed you home. And you're to do that for others. Welcome one another, just as Christ has welcomed you. Romans 12, verse 13, "Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Be hospitable." In both 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, when they talk about what elders are to be, the men who are to be selected as elders, what they're to be like, it says in both of those passages, they need to be hospitable. In Genesis 18, we mentioned last week, Abraham welcomes three strangers into his tent, feeds them dinner. It turns out they're messengers from God, and they bless him with the promise of a son. So this pattern emerges in Scripture and in Christian history. A needy stranger unexpectedly appears. The believer spontaneously and graciously receives the guest, and the visitor winds up blessing the host in some way. It eventually becomes clear that something sacred, something holy, was present in the meeting. Like those two disciples who, after reaching their destination in Emmaus on the first Easter Sunday, invite the stranger in to share their meal. And it says in Luke 24:35, then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. When they fed the stranger, they were feeding Jesus. In Hebrews 13, verse 2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. And the basis for this idea that we should be hospitable is because God has been hospitable to us, and because we've experienced inhospitality. The Israelites were aliens in Egypt. How did that go for them? Were they welcomed? No, they were enslaved. They were abused. Violence was perpetrated against them. And because they had experienced that as aliens in Egypt, they were taught to treat aliens among them with graciousness. Exodus 23, verse 9, you shall not oppress a resident alien. You know the heart of an alien, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. You ever been an alien? You ever been the one that was the stranger that needed to be invited in? Hospitality, then, is a central theme of the teaching and practice of Jesus. You see hospitality in his stories, not the story of the Good Samaritan. He took the wounded man's burden on himself. He put him on his own donkey. He tended to his wounds. He made arrangements for his lodging and food and paid for it out of his own pocket. He was hospitable. Jesus took that concept of hospitality toward resident aliens in the Old Testament and expanded the whole idea of what it means to be a neighbor when he said that the Samaritan was the neighbor to the wounded Jewish person. In Luke 14, 12 through 14, Jesus says, he said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you'll be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you'll be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Jesus is talking about this dinner party. He's not talking about dinner parties like we have today. Our problem with food is that we eat too much of it, and the food we eat is too rich in fat and sugar. Jesus was addressing rather a culture that struggled to have enough to eat, but even more rarely would have the opportunity to eat the kind of rich foods like meat that they would be served at a banquet. They didn't get to eat meat. They didn't get to eat the kind of rich foods that they would be served at a banquet. And a large meal offered from the perspective of the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind was not just an opportunity to enjoy the kind of food they wouldn't ordinarily get. It was actually something that would help their malnutrition. They needed it. And so invite the poor, the lame, and the blind in and feed them because they can't pay you back. When we think of practicing hospitality, I think we tend to envision having friends over for dinner. That's hospitable. But the word translated hospitality in our English translations and all these passages that we look at in the New Testament, the word is from a Greek word, philoxenia. Phileo is the first part of the word that means love. It's the word love for your friends, the kind of love that you feel toward your closest friends. And xenia, which means strangers. So it's the literal meaning is friendship, love for strangers. It's two words that don't go together. It's kind of an inherent paradox. Loving strangers as if they are your best friends. Jesus took this concept further than the world had ever seen. In Romans 5, verse 8, Paul says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We weren't just strangers to Jesus. We were enemies of Christ. We were rebelling against the will of Jesus. And while we were like that, that's when he died for us. Jesus was the ultimate example of hospitality. And when Christians began to follow his example, when they began to do that, what do you suppose was the impact on the ancient world? Never seen anything like this. Life in the first few centuries of the church's existence was a fragile thing. There was all kinds of violence, there were all kinds of illness. They had nothing to stand, withstand that kind of stuff. Catastrophic plagues swept through Europe, especially in 165 and again in 260 AD, killing hundreds of thousands of people, which is a big percentage of the people that were living in Europe at that time. At the height of one pandemic, 5,000 people every day were dying in the city of Rome. Two-thirds of the inhabitants of the city of Alexandria in Egypt died. Two-thirds of the people in Alexandria died. Amazingly, Christians ministered to these dying people, risking their own lives to tend to the needs of the people around them. Rodney Stark, in his book, The Rise of Christianity, quotes Dionysius, Bishop of Alexandria. He said, "Heedless of danger, the Christians took charge of the sick, attending to their every need and ministering to them in Christ, and with them departed this life supremely happy." They died with the people they were serving, but they died happy because they were wearing the name of Jesus. Once the plague had passed, countless survivors responded to the love that they had received or seen demonstrated in the name of Christ by becoming Christians themselves. It was, I guess, an evangelistic strategy. I know what we'll do. We'll give them our lives, and that'll bring them to Jesus. Over the centuries, Christians established hospitals, and these were not the equivalent of our modern-day hospitals, since they weren't just for sick people. Rather, they took care of the needs of widows, orphans, travelers, the poor, as well as the sick. Originally, a hospital was any place of reception for a guest, whether that was a pilgrim, an invalid, or a needy stranger. These richly varied practices of hospitality can be seen in all the English words that are related to each other. For that word hospitality, hospital, hospice, hotel, hostel, hospitality, host, hostess, they all come from that idea, loving a stranger as if he is your best friend. The unbelieving world had never seen anything like this. In Antioch alone, the church fed 3,000 destitute widows every day, as well as caring for prisoners, the sick, the disabled, and travelers. Hospitality of this kind continues today. Often it's seen in Christian institutions like hospitals, the Red Cross, the Salvation Army, things like Wayside Christian Mission, Habitat for Humanity, things like that. But I want us to think about this morning about our own practice and our corporate Christian practice of hospitality. If you and I don't feel personally, if we don't personally feel the urgent call to love the stranger, if our own hands do not touch the poor, the sick, or the dying, can we really be claiming to follow the example of Jesus, walking the path of Jesus? Jesus said to those on his right hand, "I was a stranger and you took me in." When was the last time you offered Jesus in the form of a stranger a bed, a cup of cold water, or a tender touch? Institutional long-distance care is necessary. It's wonderful that we can support those things. We can write checks. We can send them around the world to do these kinds of things. It's great. But I don't think it's sufficient. Paul went around the Gentile world of the first century collecting money to be distributed in Palestine during a famine there. But those churches also ministered to the needs of those right at home as well. Christians took in unwanted children and raised them. They shared their meager possessions and food with others less fortunate. And they welcomed slaves and the poor into their churches and into their hearts. A Christian leader in the fourth century, Basil the Great, said, "The bread in your cupboard belongs to the hungry person. The coat hanging and unused in your closet belongs to the person who needs it. The shoes rotting in your closet belongs to the person with no shoes. The money which you put in the bank belongs to the poor. You do wrong to everyone you could help but fail to help." I think we tend to think of helping someone as something we're free to do if we choose to. And it's a wonderful thing because we're being generous and we're giving when we don't have to give. But Basil is saying that if we don't help, we're doing wrong. that we have an obligation to be generous, to be kind, and to be helpful. You do wrong to everyone you could help, but fail to help. In other words, there's no substitute for personal involvement when it comes to hospitality. It's something you and I should practice personally. What does that look like? How do we practice it? Well, first let's learn from Christ. Now, I love what Danny said at communion. I mean, the first thing you do is you experience His hospitality. You make your home in Him. Jesus said, abide with me, live with me, move in with me, live in me, He said. We make Jesus our home. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. The rooms are ready for you. You have a place with me. You have a home for me. It's an eternal home. You can always be with me. And when you follow Jesus, you find your true home. John 1 says, to those who received Him, He gave power to become children of God. Now, there's this household. And God is the Father in the household, and we've been invited to be children, adopted children in His household. He's raising us. We belong there. He's made room for us in His life. He's made room for us in His heart. He's welcomed us. So I think the first thing, if you want to become hospitable, is to experience hospitality by receiving it from Jesus. And then remember past acts of hospitality. Look back over your life, look back over the life of the church, and think about those times when we've been most hospitable, which has made us like Jesus. One of my favorite memories from being a kid growing up in the Church of Christ in suburban Dallas is we started one of those bus ministries back in the late 60s and early 70s. Maybe you were experiencing something like that. It was an incredible thing. We bought a bunch of old school buses, painted them up, fixed them up, and drove them through neighborhoods and invited kids to get on the bus, the Joy Bus, and come to church. And all these kids came flooding into church, and people said, oh man, they're staining the carpet, they're banging on the walls and denting the walls, and they're using all of our materials. And man, that didn't matter at all. We were welcoming them into the church. And we were letting them make this their home, and it was a great thing for the church. The church grew spiritually and numerically, and the kids were served. It was a wonderful thing all around. Those days are gone, but it was a good thing. It was an example of hospitality. And we can learn from exceptional hosts and hostesses around us. As we see others who are hospitable, 5 years ago, I went on sabbatical. I went to Israel. I talked last week about how we should be hospitable to missionaries. Well, I went to Israel, and a missionary was hospitable to me. They invited me to come stay with them, and I stayed with them off and on through the month that I was there. I probably spent a total of maybe 10, 12 nights in their home and ate their meals and went around, and they were incredibly hospitable to me. And it was life-transforming for me to experience their hospitality. And when we look at hosts and hostesses like that, we can learn from the way they express hospitality. So think of Christian examples that you know who give themselves freely, who have generous hearts, who give their time, their physical and emotional energy, their affection, and their service, and learn from their example. Extending hospitality is the sacred privilege of those who themselves have already been welcomed in Christ, of those to whom have received Jesus' hospitality, precisely because we've already received unimaginable, unmerited grace, we imitate our Savior by opening our homes, our lives, our checkbooks, and our hearts to others. We become hospitable. You know, there's some activities that we're engaged in as a church, and our members are engaged in, like Louisville Outreach, LOU, which was formerly called Fed with Faith. It takes food around to all the homeless population here in Louisville, and I know a lot of y'all either participate in that or support that in various ways. There are opportunities to go on short-term mission trips and medical mission trips. There's opportunities to serve at local school that we've kind of adopted, Zachary Taylor, and help supply their needs for underprivileged children in our city. There's things like Child Place that several of you are involved in personally, and many of you support. There's the Midwest Church's after school program. There's just all kinds of things that you can get engaged in and involved in as a church. But then, obviously, bigger than that, it's what you do individually when you see anyone in need around you. And you show love and welcome and hospitality to them. The next step to loving your neighbors is to invite them in. Make them feel at home. And do it in such a way that they are honored. Not just strangers, too. Do it with the Lord's people. Romans 12, verse 13 says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. And there are people right here that are in need. And our church tries to reach and meet those needs. If you're one of those people that could use some help, let us know. You have to show humility to ask someone for help. It's a humbling thing. But also, if we're going to really help people, we need to be humble as well. You know, I think there's this sense that it's optional and that we only want to help those people who deserve it, or you know, that we can choose who we help and how we help and all that, and we're in the position of honor because we're helping them. We need to get over that. Jesus saw our great need, so how did he respond to our great need? He emptied himself. He took on the form of a servant. He became as nothing and humbled himself even to death on the cross to meet our need. He lowered himself below us. He lowered himself all the way down so he could serve us. And so we want to serve people in such a way that we lower ourselves all the way down, we humble ourselves, and we honor them. We respond to their needs with respect, with dignity. We're discreet about those we help because we want to honor them with our service, just as Jesus honored us with his service. And so my call this morning is for us to look at our lives, look at what we do with our time, our energy, our money, our hearts, and ask ourselves, each one of us individually, am I being hospitable? Let's pray as we conclude. Father, we thank you for Jesus. It's amazing beyond description to even consider that the God of the universe would come in the form of your Son and empty himself and become a servant and give up everything, to not consider anything about his position or person to be something to be held on to, but he opened his hand and let go of it all and gave us everything we needed. We pray, Father, that we will follow the example of Jesus in being hospitable. We ask this prayer in Christ's name. Amen.